Exodus 29. We have been looking at the topic of sacrifice. If you notice or not, we were looking at season of reset. Then we look at how King David bring back the Ark of Covenant. Do you remember that? We stop at the part we have repeatedly looked at the part where King David slaughtered the animal. We talk about the blood, right? The blood that brings us back to Jesus. We talk about the power of sacrifice. And there are so many things that we can talk about the sacrifice. In fact, yes, last week when we look at the woman who was caught in adultery, we also, it was actually also a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. So that was a very interesting setup that Jesus did, you know, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees brought the woman before him. So this evening, I just want to highlight another aspect of this sacrifice. I'm not sure if you realize or not, when the Israelites came before God, the mountain called Mount Sinai, you know, there were lightnings, there were thunderings, and there were sounds of trumpet, and all the Israelites were scared. And they say, oh God, just talk to Moses, don't talk to us. But during that time, God gave instructions, gave commandments, what to do. Can you imagine? They actually heard the audible voice, all the nation of Israel, that God spoke to them. How would you like that? The voice talking to you. So this is one of the things. It was quite a long thing. Not just 10 commandments. It was many, many things. A lot of which to do with sacrifice. You know, Jewish religion, Judaism, people call it, but actually it's the start of Christianity, where it starts from the nation of Israel, has a lot to do with sacrifice. And if you notice, many other religions in the world copy it. Do you see it? Your Chinese religion also has sacrifice, right? You put the fruits there. It's a sacrifice to appease the idol. Where did they get the idea from? It all started from when God showed that Israel. You know, in a Chinese New Year, the 9 day, is it? The Hokkien do what? They call the God of Heavens. They put all the bamboo and all that. There's this concept of sacrifice.
And the red color.
All that. A lot of things, they somehow got it from the Bible, from the Israelites, from the Jewish people. Let's look at one very interesting thing, Exodus 29. If you have Exodus 29, look at verse 38. Have you found verse 38? Someone read verse 38 to verse 43. One verse at a time, one person at a time. Exodus 29, verse 38 to verse 43. Verse 39.
One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight.
40.
If the first lamb offer a tenth of eva of the finest flour mixed with a quarter of pan of oil of first oil, and a quarter of a pan of wine as a drink offering.
Verse 41.
And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it a grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by the fire.
Verse 42.
This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you.
Verse 43.
And there I will meet with the children of Israel. The tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It's the first time God spoke to them, and God instituted. What do you see there? What did God ask them to do? To sacrifice? How many lambs? It's not Mary had a little lamb. How many lambs? 2 lambs, right? How many times? No. Read carefully. Huh? 2 times a day? Is it? Or 2 times a year?
2 times a day.
2 times a day. When and when?
Morning and twilight.
Morning and twilight. morning and night time, right? Everyone has the same Bible, right? Correct? Don't tell me yours is a three lamps and, you know, three times a day. Or correct, eh? Everyone got it right? It's a daily sacrifice. Daily sacrifice, twice a day. Everyone got it? It became a decree from God. God decreed it from Mount Sinai. Is it meant for a year only? How long should they be practicing that? Look at verse 38. Day by day, continually. You see that? Continually. Look at verse 41 or verse 42. This shall be a continual burn offering. So the Jewish people call this the Tamid sacrifice. Tamid means continual. Continual sacrifice. It's a T-A-M-Y-I-D or T-A-M-I-D. The Tamid sacrifice. It's a continual thing. Except for the time when they have gone astray, they're backslidden, or except when the time enemy has conquered them, they have done it every day without stop. Can you imagine that? Every day they burn one in the morning, one at night lamb. The one at night one, they will let it burn throughout the night. Tomorrow wake up, the priest will go and clean the ash, prepare another lamb, and do it again. We don't have the concept of that because we don't do that, right? Do you bring lamb to the church? You don't, right?
God wrote lamb
to eat lah, barbecue that one. So you don't offer it, huh? You know, in some Chinese religion, they offer the roast pork.
Wow.
Very nice, right? Very nice to eat. You see the pork very well placed there. Prostrating before the idol. And again, in case the Israelites forgotten, in Numbers chapter 28, the same thing was repeated. If you have the Bible with you, look at Numbers chapter 28. Numbers is the which book in the Old Testament? Who knows? Numbers is number what? Numbers 28. The fourth book?
Fourth
of the Torah. The first five books are called the Torah. The first five book is called the Pentateuch. P-E-N-T-A-T-E-U-C-H. Penta is five. The first five books of Moses, they call it Pentateuch. Okay? Chinese is called what? Mo Si Wu Jing. Correct. Gawking. Mossy and Gawking. Okay. Numbers 28. Let's read verse 1 to verse 8. Someone start. I start. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I got the shortest one. Okay, go. Verse 2.
Command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering and the bread for sacrifice, for my sacrifices make the fire. For sweet savour unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in the due season.
Verse 3. Verse 4.
The one lamb we shall offer in the morning, the other lamb we shall offer in the evening.
One in the morning, one in the evening. Verse 5.
And one tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one fourth of a hin of fresh oil.
Verse 6.
It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai. Or sweet savour, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord.
The 7.
And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hind for the one lamb in the holy place. Shall thou cause the strong wine to pour unto the Lord for a drink offering.
Verse 8.
The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and his drink offering you shall offer it as
very beautifully, these two passages give us detail. In case you're wondering, what is twilight? Here they tell you it is morning and evening, right? It is one in the morning, one in the evening. right? Continual, the word in used in Exodus 28, in Numbers 28, it is, just now Exodus 29 used the word continual. Here they call it the regular. Regular and continual, the same Hebrew word, tamid, okay? It's a regular sacrifice. So my brothers, my sisters, this is a divine decree from Mount Sinai. Imagine you want to know, hey, what does God say about things of sacrifice? This is from God. What is an instruction? What is a decree? It is something that you must do. Do you think God just come to Mount Sinai someday? He thought of an idea and say, this is the thing to do. Then the Israelites say, just listen, wow, nice story. And they don't do anything. What's the point of it, right? A divine decree, a divine instruction is meant to be obeyed, to be carried out. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just recall last week I was preaching in a Bahasa church and I was talking about the peace of God. I was speaking about the twofold peace of God, you know, inside and the inside, which is stronger than the outside. Sometimes you think that when we share the word of God, it's like a theory or something. You know, the more I share the word of God, it will come back to me. Whether I will apply or not. It's not something that we go and search for it, a theory to share. Like in my workplace, recently I noticed, hey, how come everybody doesn't have peace? I realized suddenly today, I thought, hey, how come everybody like, in a very negative emotion like that. I want to cari pasal like that. You know, everything else is fine for everyone's emotion is negative. Then immediately inside me, I think to myself, am I going to join them, be a part of them? Or am I going to live as what I preach? You know, I just last Sunday, I told them, like what Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not the same like the peace of the world, right? It's a peace that does not come from the world. It is a peace that means it is something that is stronger than the world. If it comes from the kingdom, it is stronger than the world. And I told them, what is from the kingdom of God is the real substance. What is the world is just a shadow. Do you know? Which one is more stronger, shadow or the real thing? Of course, the real thing. So the peace that God gives should be more powerful and be able to overcome whatever negativity, whatever emotions around me. No fault of me, people. Suddenly I can see everyone like in a very distressful, negative. Then I say, hey, the good's got nothing to do with me. I am in the peace of God. Amen. But similarly, this is a divine decree that has to be carried out. We hear something, we have to carry out. Don't just hear some good things. Ah, that's a good teaching. Ah, today is very funny. Huh, today, there's an opera presentation. It's a nice presentation. No, it has to be something that must be a part. So when I go through that, the word tries me. The word that I preach will come back to try me, T-R-Y. Not to try me, to toba me. So if I pass the word, that word now becomes my weapon. Next time I share, it carries even more weight, more anointing. That is the way it works. Because I have to leave it out. But I have a choice. If everybody is also negative, I also jump in like everything. I also start scolding. Did you scold me for what? No reason. I scold you back lah. You think I cannot? I don't know how to scold lah. There goes my opportunity to practice what I preach. Practice the truth of God. Not just what I preach. All of us, we hear something. Do we practice it? So I decide to, they got nothing to do with me. Let them be what they are. I am in the perfect peace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm just giving an example. A divine decree has to be translated into action into our life, in our lives. Amen. So let me show you a divine instruction or a divine initiative needs a divine design to carry it out. Do you catch me? A divine initiative cannot be carried out by a man-made design, a man or a wisely thought of design. Many times we get something divine, we get a prophecy, we receive a revelation, we receive a truth, we got a rhema word. But we do not wait for the divine design. You got a divine initiative, divine instruction, divine decree. You do not wait for the divine design to walk it out. And then you say, oh yeah, this one not true. This word not true. God didn't fulfill the promise. We have the divine word, we must have the divine design, the divine method to bring it out. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. We'll look at it a bit shortly, later. But right now I want to go back to these two passages. What's the purpose of God asking them to have these sacrifices? In Exodus 28, what did he say? This shall be a continual, Exodus 28, 42. This shall be a continual, a tamid, a regular burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you. Do you have that? To speak with you. Verse 43, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Very interesting. We always think that the tabernacle, only the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. God, the Shekinah glory comes and encounter the high priest, right? But here in this verse, interestingly it says, there I will meet the children of Israel. Come look at me. If you have not caught it all this while, catch it tonight. All along we've been looking at this model of tabernacle. The heart of God has always been for man to meet with God. Do you see that? Repeatedly you have seen why there must be a tabernacle. Why God does all the things he did. Why Jesus must come and die a cruel death. Why all these things? Because it has always been the heart of God to meet with his children. What does that mean? Hello? It means Christianity is not a religion just of the mind. Everybody say mind. It has to be an experiential religion. It is something to be experienced. Encounter means, can I say, like yesterday I met Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph got shocked suddenly. He said, this person is siao one. What is that? Crazy, right? This person crazy. I didn't see him yesterday or something. If I say, hey, yesterday I met Brother Joseph, what does that mean? He's met me, I met him, right? He saw me. Can or not? Can I say, yesterday I had a coffee with Brother Joseph. Inside he is, whole day I was driving, how this person there? Coffee. Imagine my name has got some problem already in the mind. What does that mean? I have coffee with Joseph means it actually took place. I saw him, he saw me, I drank coffee, he smelled the coffee that I drank. Agree or not? Your senses are involved. Your visual sense is involved. Your nose sense is involved. Your brain was actively engaged in it. Your emotion was involved in it. Maybe you're not very happy to see me, but force to have coffee with me. So that's the emotion level. Or maybe he's very happy to see me. He's very happy. That's why he bought me the coffee. I don't have to pay. But now he said, lagi siang now. Just now, I already didn't meet him. Now talk about paying for the coffee. He is starting to imagine things. He was so happy. So everything engaged. His will is engaged. He said, Pastor Lehman, I pay for the coffee. Wow, I'm so happy. Because I ordered an expensive coffee. Lagi-lagi-lagi, siap already. The coffee. And then he drove me back. I said, wait. He won't go near me. Imagine. Imagination overboard. What does it mean? I will meet with the children of Israel. I will speak to them. The central theme revolving around the tabernacle, revolving around the work of God with mankind has always been, I will meet, I will speak with you. There is an engagement, there is an encountering between divine and human. This has to be very clear in your lives, in my lives. Amen?
Amen.
There is an experiential, everybody say experiential. What does experiential mean? You must experience it. Can I not? I can read about it. I can say, hey, electricity very strong, you know. Everybody also know, right? electrocutor, you can be electrocutor, you're very strong one. Everybody also know. Until you put your finger and go ahead. Then you just say you're really strong. Really, really strong, right? I kena a few times, right? I pretend to be very good electrician. I will do. Wah! My wife said, hey, what happened? You think you can get I also didn't know that I screamed. It was an auto reflex. Do you know? Have you tried before? Your shock wave? Who got experienced electric shock before?
Me.
How did you scream? No? And then you're very, then you're super nice.
Pull you.
Huh?
Yeah, pull you.
Pull you, right?
Yeah, you gotta be very careful.
It's a sensation that you are sensation. Beyond you, right? You yeah. How was your response?
Like you said, pull you and then you feel the pain.
Feel the pain?
Your heartbeat will be very irregular.
To the extent that
one. If you are young, you're okay. If you are old, you die.
Yeah. That day when I cannot that one, I was very tired the whole day. I don't know whether it had
heartbeat. It
affect your heart.
Disrupt your heartbeat.
Yeah, irregular rhythm like yeah.
Very irregular.
Wow. Is it very prophetic, right? Encounter God, your heartbeat also beat according to His heartbeat. Amen. Correct. It's the other way lah. Your irregular heartbeat, when you encounter God, begin to beat regularly. Wow. You see that? And you say what? Pull to it now. You encounter God. God pull to be pulled to God.
Pull you.
Pull you. The electricity will pull you. But all the children here, you read in the books, you hear from your parents, never do. You only know, hey, don't go back and try, please. Children don't do it at home, right? But you only heard about it when you encounter it. This is what God wants with every child. Don't just go to church, come back, do this, do that. Never meet with God. And meeting with God has different level. It has to be experiential. Brothers and sisters, look at me. Don't get it wrong. Modern day Christianity and historical Christianity always had it wrong in some ways. They tell you, serve God. Serve God is the most important thing. You serve God, you'll be well. You'll go to heaven. Have you heard that? All along, right? When I was in a Baptist church, everything, serve God is like the epitome of Christianity. Do you know that? The moment a new Christian comes to church and you will draft him into some kind of service, the usher lah. Correct or not? Hello? Oh, you all look at me like... Correct or not? Hello? Huh? Draft you become usher. I can become usher, start with usher, do something. Never teach us to experience God. Never. Never teach us to encounter God. First thing is, serve God. If you serve God, you're very good. Then you also very proud now. I become usher. Then like in the company, they have promotion, right? Usher, now I become a song leader. Now I become a chairman. You encounter that? It's like, oh, now I'm being entrusted. So I've served God. Surely in heaven, my place very high. Correct or not? Like the mother say, right? Where will my children sit? Will they beside you or not? So you serve, sure, one day go up. Yeah, I remember a lot of people began to say, I come from a Baptist church. I remember people will begin to say, you know, all the things I do, I don't understand why I do what I do. Because it's not about just serving God. So some people is, well, I serve God, oh, very good idea. I'm in a ministry. Or we talk about public, okay, what is it? Public relationship. What is public relationship? You have a relationship with God publicly. That means, oh, you come to church, you do things publicly. Hello, look at me. Good enough already. Christianity is defined by what you do publicly. So there is no encouragement, no teaching, no engagement to tell you. It all starts with a private relationship. A private relationship with God leading to a public. So when you come publicly, it is a different dimension. What is the focus is, God wants to meet with us. God wants to speak to us. Amen. A meeting, an encounter, It's a two-way communication. Everyone say two-way communication.
Two-way
communication. Right? All along we are only taught, God will speak to you through what? Sister Rosie? Through? B-I-B-L-E, right? God will speak to you through Bible. That's all we are told, right? And everybody doesn't like to read the Bible. Sadly, if they read and they don't understand, they fall asleep. Then they stop reading. They never ventured further. So what is the central theme in the heart of God? Hello, look at me. I will meet with you. I will speak to you. Means what? You and I are supposed to learn to hear when God speaks. Not just in the Bible, not just through the Bible. All must be consistent with the Bible. And God speaks through so many ways. God speaks through dreams, through visions. Some churches don't want all this. All this very hard. They laugh at dreams. They say, all this, you had too much pizza last night. Your dream is a result of your pizzas. And you just missed an avenue of God speaking. In the Bible, how many of the revelation in the Bible was written? At least one-third came from dream. At least one-third came from dream and vision. Why you had pizzas? Is it pizza then tomorrow you dream about some other dream? So that has always been the central theme in the heart of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Hello? Hello?
Everyone okay? Everyone okay? It's not ministry. It's not serving. It's not a mind intellectual knowledge about God. It's not just in the public. I'm a Christian. I join church. I go all the meetings throughout the day, throughout the week. Doesn't mean you meet with God. Can you see that? You can go to meetings 7 days a week and don't meet with God. You are supposed to meet with God when you call for the meeting. It's not wrong in the public relationship you have with God, but usually it starts from your private relationship. When you begin, the public should lead to your private relationship with God. It should encourage you to have a private relationship with God. And in your private relationship, when you go public, you share, you release in the corporate anointing. And then you come back again, you replenish, you receive again. So it is a very relationship-centered, a very encountering engagement with God that God has in His heart. When He began to reveal to the Israelites, when Moses was caught into heaven, when he was shown the pattern in heaven, it has all to do with God meeting with us, speaking with us. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I ask all of you to say so that you don't fall asleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is the central theme. Like I say, you have a divine decree. It must always be followed by a divine design. You see, God, through in the Mount Sinai, spoke to the people. Then Moses went to the mountain, received a pattern. He went to heaven, he saw the pattern. He brought it out to earth, told the people how you build it. Right? And then when you go to New Testament, hello, come follow me. When you go to the New Testament, the author of Hebrews then tell you, not yet. You see, Moses went to heaven, saw the pattern, brought it down, the divine initiative, they do it right, they carry out. You go to New Testament, the author of Hebrews says, that which happened in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, when they carry out what Moses saw, it's just a shadow. Leading to a substance. What does this tell us? You see, even in the revelation of the Word of God and the truth of God, is progressive. In the Old Testament, they did the sacrifice, not knowing they were actually acting out a shadow for the New Testament, for you and me. So that when we saw what happened to them, we learn from them as a shadow. And now, after Jesus has come, we have the substance. Amen. Isn't that interesting? That revelation has been progressively revealed to man. And men always think that we know everything. Imagine you tell Moses, or the people of Israelite, one day you go back to the times of Moses, you tell them, hey, what you do all shadow? You are going to fight. You do all shadow. This is the main thing. This is everything. You see, you know, they'll say, oh, this is everything. What do you mean? It's everything. When you come here, you tell them it's a shadow. So we shouldn't be, sometimes, don't never think that we know everything. God continues to reveal, but everything has to be consistent with the scriptures. Amen? So what is this? I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 30. 3-0. Exodus chapter 3-0. I'm going to read verses 7 to 8. Exodus 30, verse 7 to 8. Are you following me? I'm going to read Exodus 30, verse 7 to 8. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You got that? Exodus 30, verses 7 to 8. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. So what do we have here? Just now we have the sacrifice which happened in the outer court. Okay, I don't have the picture here with me, but you know, the picture of the tabernacle, look here. Right? Imagine this is the outer court. Yeah? When the Israelites come in, this is the outer court. This is the holy place, it's a covered place, and inside there is the most holy place. In the outer court, the first thing they have is the brazen altar, and then they have the laver. Inside there are three items, three furniture inside. Who can tell me what are the three furniture in the holy place? What is it? No, that's the holiest of all. Holy place, what do you have? Candle lampstand, right? The menorah. Remember the menorah? What else do you have? Huh? What is it? Table of what? Table of showbread. Oh, must. This is Sunday school bag. Then you have the altar of incense. And then, at the Holy of Holies, you have Ark of Covenant. Each place, there's a veil. So you have all, actually it's supposed to be 2, 2, 2, but on earth it is 2, 3, 1. Altar of incense in heaven is in the holiest of all. We're going to look at that one day. It's a very interesting revelation. But here you have menorah and the table of showbread. And you have altar of incense. Right before you go to the Holy of Holies, you have the altar of incense. The verse that I read to you just now, it says, Aaron, who is the priest, what does he do? Every morning, he has to light the incense. Make sure the incense continue to have sweet incense, right? The altar of incense inside. And what's the second thing? To light the
lamp.
To tend the lamp, the menorah. Have you seen the menorah? Huh? The lampstand. Now you have electric menorah. And last time wasn't when electric. They have to pour oil to make sure it continues to burn. They cannot have the lights go out. Isn't that interesting? Hello, look at me. Every day, hello, two sacrifices in a brazen altar. Two sacrifices, right? One lamb. One in the morning, one in the evening. And then now we look at another verse. It says, Aaron did something else, not just sacrifice. He has to make sure every day the incense is there and the light is there. What does it tell us? What does it tell us? Twice a day, Aaron does this thing. Menorah speaks of what? Incense speaks of what? The brazen altar speaks of what? Light. We have light in the holy place. It speaks of the word of God, right? The word of God. Then you have altar of incense. Speaks of worship. Speaks of prayer and worship. Okay? And the burnt sacrifice, it also speaks of prayer. It also speaks of praise. It also speaks of worship. Right? It's not something I pluck from the sky. We're going to see together. Why do I say so? Okay? In at least two references in the book of Revelation, we are told the incense is like the prayer of the saints. Okay? I give you the reference. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 and Revelation chapter 8 verses 3 to 4. You can jot it down. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayer of the saints. What are incense? What are incense? Hello? What is incense? Prayer. Prayer of the saints. And in Revelation 8 again, verses 3 and 4, another angel, no? It also talks about incense as the prayer of the saints. Wow. In the Jewish practice, this is what they do. Look at me. I don't know whether you know or not. Jewish starts their day when? At night. Right? Jewish, their day starts from the night on. After 6 p.m. starts a new day. Right? Okay, so, and then this, at the morning when they do the sacrifice, is usually they call it the third hour. This is the third hour from morning, 6 a.m., 7, 8, 9 is the third hour. The first sacrifice is at the 9 a.m. Everyone say 9 a.m. This is what? Third hour, right? The ninth hour is 3 p.m. That is your twilight, your evening. When they go and do prepare another lamp, when they go and light up the candlestick, and when they go and ensure the incense. You following me? This is where we get the phrase like day and night. Wow. You have the day and night explanation in English, right? But I want to bring to you, this is the biblical revelation of day and night. You have a day sacrifice at the third hour, 9 a.m. 3 p.m. is the night, the twilight, the second sacrifice. That's not what did we say? There are three things. The word, worship, and prayer. Three things you do day and night. Do you agree with me? Hello? Do you agree with me? If you don't agree with me, I show you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Let's look at the word of God. Huh? The lampstand. You have to make sure there's light, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? Hello? And a light unto my path. You light up the golden lampstand, you have the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night. What is the day and night? First one, in the morning. Second one,
in the evening.
In the evening. 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Some people ask, why the Jewish people are so clever one? They win all the Nobel Prize, they have all the special invention. One of the secrets is, from small, they learn the word of God day and night. How do I prove that? Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 6 to 7. This is what God says, and these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Listen carefully. When you walk by the way. Follow me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 6 to 7. And it says, when you lie down and when you rise up day and night. When you lie down, we talk about the word of God. So Jewish boys and girls, when they lie down, they are taught the Torah. When they rise up, they are taught the Torah. Torah means law. Okay, they are taught about the word of God. Same principle with Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. You want to be successful and prosperous in whatever you do, make sure you meditate on the word of God day and night. It's the same one as a daily sacrifice. Lamb of God, the lamb, 1 year old lamb, you burn as a burnt offering day and night. So the word of God, Aaron has to go and light up the menorah, the word of God. Are you following me? And just now we look at the two Revelation verses. It speaks about prayer. Right? Prayer. Then you say, anything else? Yes. Prayer is not just prayer. There are twofold. Prayer one is communing with God. Talking with God. You don't come. If every day I go and right, today, now Brother Joseph is not here, I can say. If I want to give example, cannot, he's not here. Can use Brother Albert. If every day I go and see Brother Albert, I ask for favor. I say, you know a lot of politics people, help me, ask for favor. Every day just ask for favor. Then from far, if he can see me in my car, he'll try to hug it. The wife, he'll tell the wife, say I'm not in. If every day people come to you, favor looks like, ask for money. Oh, second time you're this. You block the WhatsApp number. Block. You can block. Don't let the number go through. Correct or not? Every day come and ask you for your toy. You know why your house have so many soft toys? Every day ask one. Okay, bless me with one soft toy. So cute. You have so many bless me. You laugh. But that's what you do, right? Every time you go to God, God give me favor. That sounds a bit different, though. Divine favor, we make it more spiritual. Divine favor. God, I ask for divine blessing. But when you ask for divine blessing, your eyes are full of dollar signs. Divine blessing, Lord. Thank God, God never block your number. God never say, go and send the angel, go and tell him, God is not in today. God is very busy. And then angels come. Today, your wish is not granted. God is too busy. How would you like that? So prayer is not just asking. Brother Albert will be very not happy to see me. But every day, he's got any kang tao, no? Any favor, no? Any jalan, I know you got many jalan. No? Every day go jalan, you sure close the jalan for me, right? So prayer has two things. One is that, but of course the other one is God also asks you to ask of me. It's not wrong. So to be balanced, our prayer life must be both. Communing with God. I don't come with any requests. I'm here to love you, to spend time with you. How do you like that? Friends, hey, Brother Albert, are you free or not? Go yam cha. Go teh tarik. Go roti canai. Won't ask jalan, won't ask anything. I pay, you pay. We go Dutch. Happy. Correct or not? Do you want this kind of friend? Of course. Right now, if I just come for jalan, people will be scared. So there are twofold to it. Twofold. Are you all catching it? So prayer, to be balanced, it has to be both. So we saw that the incense is the prayer of the saints. And do you remember the parable that Jesus said about the unrighteous judge? A woman keep coming, asking God, from the judge, give me something. Do you remember that? And what did Jesus say? Luke chapter 18 verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? In the New Testament, there is also the concept of day and night. Hallelujah. When you have a problem, if you learn this principle of your intercession, prayer is talking to God, communing with God. Intercession, you bring your supplication, you bring your burdens, you bring the burdens of others. Day and night. There is a principle there, intercession, persevering intercession where God will answer. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it speaks in Nehemiah. This is another principle, actually it's a very powerful principle. When Nehemiah found out that the wall of the temple has broken down, he was so sad. He stripped off. I read from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. This is the call to pray for our nation's revival. When you see the wall has come down, I'm not talking about politically, socially. When you see in the spirit realm, you know that, you know, there is a need for God to awaken His people, send revival. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I say, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ears be attentive. Let your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. If you want to pray for our country, we also must learn this principle day and night for the children of Israel. Nehemiah pleaded, interceded day and night. Hello? Do you know, after Holy Spirit has come, Peter and John, remember the miracle? Peter and John went to pray. You know the song? What, how do you go? Met a lame man on the way. Correct? Huh? You know the children's song? Peter and John went to pray. They went to pray at the ninth hour. Specifically, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Peter and John went to pray during the time of prayer, during the time of the evening sacrifice. Hey, New Testament, already time of grace. Holy Spirit has come down. He still observed. They still at the right time. Oh, now it's 3 p.m. I'm going to pray. He went to pray. And because he went to pray during that time of prayer, a miracle happened. What am I saying here? Or well, some of you may be thinking, wow, wholesale, very good. I got a secret. I'm going to pray one time 9 a.m., one time 3 p.m., expecting something special to happen. No. Let's get the principle correct, okay? It is never in a formula. Okay? From the start, I already said nothing is in a formula. The principle of day and night. So we look at the word, we saw word day and night, prayer day and night. Incense also speak of worship and praise. In the New Testament, this one, let's turn together. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. If you have found it, say yes. Nobody has found it. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. If you have found it, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, one person has found it. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, I read for you. Therefore, by Him, let us... What is the word there? Therefore, by Him, let us...
Continually offer.
What is the word there? Continually. Does it ring a bell? What is the continually? Tamid. The Tamid sacrifice, right? Continual. It's the same continual, regular sacrifice. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer what? Sacrifice of what? Lamb? Bull? Of?
Praise.
Wow. Now in the New Testament, I don't bring a lamb, I bring praise. Wow, to God. That is the fruit of my lips. That is the fruit of my lips. Not just praise, giving thanks to His name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So what is the sacrifice? Praise, thanksgiving, do good, and sharing. All this is the New Testament share, New Testament Tamid sacrifice. Do you get it? So we have the word, the menorah. We have the prayer. We have the praise, the giving thanks. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. And then David, who has a heart after God, he has a special revelation. He's, you know, from the Old Testament, he already kept he already could connect the dots. You know, he say, ah, this one, evening sacrifice, morning sacrifice. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 141. It's good to look at the word of God. Psalms chapter 141. Look at what King David say when he came before God. Psalms chapter 141 verses 1 to 2. Sorry, if you have been looking for the verse, then the moment you found the verse, I already finished reading. Psalms chapter 141. Do you see that?
Yes.
Let's read verse 1 and verse 2 together, whatever version. 1, 2, go. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer
Prayer
be set before you as
incense.
David knew. Before Revelations was written, incense is what? Prayer. Wow. Continue. Continue on. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Look here. What did David say? When I pray, it is like an incense. What else? Wait, how come you all didn't get it? What did he say?
When I lift up my hands.
What is that? Lift up my hands, what is that?
Evening sacrifice.
I got all different versions, got surrender, but what is it? Let's look at it. When I lift up my hands, it is the
evening sacrifice.
Oh. We have day and night. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. David, who has a heart after God, a man after God's heart, got this, connect all the dots, he got this revelation. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Who stands by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hand. What is that? When he lifts up his hand, he lifts up the evening sacrifice. He lifts up the evening sacrifice. He didn't need to bring the lamb. Just by lifting up hands, it's the evening sacrifice. So a lot of people, they come to church, they don't want to lift up their hands. You miss that. You just miss doing something that was decreed by God. God said there is a day and a night. Daily you have two sacrifices. The evening sacrifice and the morning sacrifice. David just did. He got a revelation. By lifting up my hands. Wow. By lifting up your hands. That's why it's a struggle, you know. For some traditional church, to clap hands also, like their hands are spiritually, they are bound by some demonic force. Yeah. Ask them to clap hands. Cannot. I know of some denomination cannot clap hands. Lift hands. Cannot lift up. The most is they leave like that. Lift up your hands. You know why cannot lift. But when you lift up your hands, you are free to evening sacrifice. The enemy doesn't want them to lift up your hand. Cannot lift, very heavy. But the moment you lift up your hands, you are doing the evening sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? Just lifting your hands. No, I'm not going any figurative about it, whether it's surrender, praise, or worship or not. Let's look at it literally. David said, when I lift up my hands, that's the evening sacrifice. That's as powerful as it is. Okay. Just by lifting up your hands, it's an evening sacrifice. Amen. So as often as we can, even when you go, when you are cooking halfway or your work, you run to the toilet, halfway, lift your hands up. Hey, it makes a difference in your life, you know, in your office or whatever. Just lift your hands. Then you say, I'm giving the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Well, I like it. David is such a, he received all this revelation. He connected the dot before the New Testament got it. He got it already. So in heaven, you must go and find David. Say, wow, very good. Very clever you. Can become my teacher. Can I go to heaven, go and tell David, please be my teacher. How do you get all this secret? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this is an important, now is the interesting one. Day and night, when you learn to do morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, follow me closely, now get it, huh? Listen carefully, don't get me wrong. Some of you never heard before, you think I begin to teach heresy. When you practice day sacrifice, evening sacrifice, you open up a portal in your life. Hey, what portal new age are you? You open up a door in the spiritual realm. Okay, like use the scriptural word. There is an open heaven when you begin to practice it. This time we just saw one example. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. Because they went on the evening sacrifice time, it has been a habit, it has been a lifestyle for them. They started at home doing that. It has been a lifestyle to them. They have opened up the heaven in their lives. A portal, they carry that portal wherever they go. And at that time, they could release a miracle. You say, oh, come on, why are you saying all this? Really or not? I give you at least two examples in the Bible to establish this principle. Number one, Elijah. Remember Elijah? Fight with who? False prophet. Where? Where? Mount? Elijah fought with false prophet where? Mount? Carmel. Hello? Are we all okay? From morning till noon, verse 26, I don't have to go because we don't have time. The false prophet started shouting like, oh! What was the challenge between Elijah and the false prophet? Call down fire, right? Oh, shit. Can you imagine? Can you do that? You go to school, you go outside there, go to shopping mall. That's challenge. In Jesus real or your God real or my Jesus real? Who can burn this small little paper? So the false prophet said, of course, ours is real. From morning, call, let's put a time, 9 a.m. Call. They start at 9 a.m. The third hour, call, come down, fire. No more voice. Oh, quickly run to drink water. Until noon time. It's recorded in the Word of God, right? 1 Kings. Go back and read 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. Morning till midday till noon. Come down. Then Elijah will say, maybe your God is asleep, cry louder. Maybe still sleeping, cry louder. Come down. From midday to 3 o'clock. No answer. But nearing to 3 o'clock, when the time of the evening sacrifice is about to come, Elijah said, come on, let's get ready. Miracle is going to happen. Quickly, let's get the altar ready, put the water on. Right at the time, 3 p.m., portal was open. I cried out, prove to them, God of Israel, that you are the true God. Fire came down right at the time of evening sacrifice. Wow. Portal was open. He has practiced it. He has become his lifestyle. He recognized the special timing and the decree. He has lived it out the moment he carried it wherever it went. You think it is a coincidence? No. It's not a coincidence. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. From verse 36 to 38. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, he began to call out to God. At the time of the offering of evening sacrifice. What time is that? 3 p.m. Isn't that amazing? One example only. You want to start a doctrine idea? Second example. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was praying, he was speaking, he was confessing his people in chapter 9, verse 20. Verse 21. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Wow. Angelic visitation happened at 3 p.m. So now you quickly write 3 p.m., put alarm at 3 p.m., must pray. Do you see that? It's not just once. At least twice. Daniel, when he was praying, it has been his habit, pray 3 times. Actually, they are day and night only. Daniel was a bit more passionate. Noontime, he also prayed. People pray 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Daniel, noontime also prayed. Right? That is somewhat we get from other religions who pray for 5 times. Eh? They get they copy something from the Jewish religion, Jewish belief. So, the other religion, 5 times. We laugh at them. The Jewish people have 2 times. Right? 2 times. And it opened up a portal, it opened up a doorway, it opened up heaven. Supernatural doorway, open heaven and a portal was open. Wow. What about New Testament? I told you an example already. So 3 AD. Peter and John went to pray at the time of the evening sacrifice. The father of John the Baptist. Father of John the Baptist had an encounter with an angel. Remember? It was the time for him to go and burn incense. What time they burn incense? 9 a.m. 3 p.m. You jot it down. I'm not creating this. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. You know, they throw lot. So he was a priest. It was his turn to go in to burn incense. 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Wow. The angel appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. He was a priest. It was his turn to. Just like I told you already, right? Aaron had to burn the incense. Aaron had to light the lamp. And they had to burn the. There was a separate daily sacrifice. So he's a priest. It was his turn now to go and burn incense. 3 p.m. he went to burn incense. The angel appeared to him and said, "Your wife who is old, you will have a son, John the Baptist." He didn't believe, and he was struck dumb. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? So what is the principle we are drawing here? 9 a.m. you want to pray? 3 p.m. God's divine initiative is He wants to meet with His people. He wants to speak with His people. You got that right? I started by saying that's divine initiative, the divine decree. You do all this because I want to meet with you. How to meet with God? How to hear His voice? You and I must learn to have a designated time to pray. Hallelujah. A time to read the Word. A time to praise and worship. Everyone has a different time. Maybe you say, "I'm not a morning person." Then you pray in the afternoon or you pray at night. But at least the principle is at least twice a day you set apart a time, a regular time, a continual time to pray, to talk to God. Every day you have an appointment with God. When you keep practicing it, that appointment sooner. Don't fall asleep. The appointment, if you continually, regularly keep it, sooner or later will become a supernatural portal, open heaven, supernatural doorway where you may get angelic visitation. You can begin to hear His voice clearer. You begin to receive download of His word. As when you, what do you do when you do? When you pray, when you worship, when you lift your hands. Hallelujah. That is the principle. It's not the time. It's not the time. But you can ask God, "What is the time?" There was once God showed me, God gave me a time. I didn't believe it. I think I remember my first daughter gave me a drawing many years ago, at least 6 years ago. Gave me a drawing, you know. They like to draw and give me a drawing. Then I look at the picture, how come in the picture got a clock? And I say, how come you go and draw the clock? It's 12 o'clock, 15 minutes. I said, hey, funny, why you want to do 12:15? Then my wife took it and said, it's not 12:15 lah. It's 3 o'clock. I'm shocked. You know, all along I was prompted that God gave me 3 o'clock to pray. You know? So, does my daughter know? Back then, don't know how old was she. She just drew 3 o'clock. So, I can't deny that. That's my morning sacrifice. That's the time of my morning sacrifice. If I learn to regularly pray at that time, wow, there is a portal there for me. I know. If I stop waking up to pray, I find it hard. You know, the portal becomes smaller. When I do it again, after a few times, the portal is open because it's easier, the flow is easier for me again. So it is real. Hello? Learn. Children learn. Find a time in the morning. Set apart the time. Regularly do it. Continually do it. It'll become a portal. It'll become an open heaven. But I go back to Exodus 29. Just now God says, this is a burnt offering. Burnt offering means what? Barbecue, right? The fire will burn it, right? Hello? Hello? I know it's 10:05. Let me finish this. I always have too many things to say, right? I thought we should have as much as we can, right? It's the word of God. It's so rich. I've already cut down many things. God say, you have this sacrifice for sweet aroma. Everybody say, sweet aroma.
Sweet aroma.
Think of it. You mean God likes to smell the barbecue smell, is it? God likes to smell the barbecue smell? Actually, when God smells it, He feels good. You know? The original word, the original root word for sweet aroma has these two meanings. One is has a connotation of spirit, ruach, where the ruach kodesh, the Holy Spirit, and the other, there are two words to the sweet aroma. The other word is, has the same meaning as rest. When God smells it, He's pleased. He's sitting down, He's at rest, He's happy. He's at rest. I never thought of it. Rest. We want the resting, become the resting place of God, right? If we can give sweet, if our praise, our prayer, our worship is sweet incense to Him, He rests upon us. Amen. 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 Isn't that amazing? But you've been thinking, what is this sweet aroma? I've been also thinking, God likes a burnt smell of flesh, you know, barbecue smell. I think I would like it. Like I go to the restaurant, if there's a steak, smells good. Smells really good, right? You like to eat it. My God, is it really the smell? And if you look at the Bible, I give you a few things. I just tell you, you don't have to write now. In Isaiah chapter 1, God told the Israelites, you think I like your sacrifice? You think I like to smell the burnt incense? Your incense is like foul smell to me. Then I realize, it is not in the smell. It is in the quality of what we give to Him. Because when the Israelites fell into sin, let me read quickly, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 20, because this is the word of God. Listen carefully. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burning offering of rams. I have enough of the fat of fat cattle. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Then God said, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. What was meant to be a sweet aroma is not in the things you give. It is in the quality of what you offer. Hallelujah. It's not in the, today I bring lamb or whatever. It's not in the sacrifice. It's in the quality of the sacrifice. Look at me. When the quality of your sacrifice resonates with the frequency of God. Can you still take it? when the quality, when the frequency of your sacrifice is the same as the frequency of God, it resonates, it becomes a sweet aroma. Your sacrifice must be the same frequency as God, God's frequency. Are you catching it? Hello? I've talked about sacrifice before, right? Sacrifice should represent us. We cannot become like sacrifice. I've told you all many times, remember? It's something very interesting. The sacrifice should represent us. If I give a sacrifice, I say, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. But in my heart has hypocrisy, has envy. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. That worship that I give does not represent my heart. Because God sees my heart. God smells the frequency of my heart, not the sacrifice. It has to be the sacrifice represent my heart. So when I say, thank you, Lord, I worship you, Lord, my heart is sincere, pure. I say, thank you, Lord, I worship you, Lord. I don't blame God inside. I don't doubt God inside. I don't have any unclean, impure motivation inside. Not to get something from God. Not, I use praise to bribe God. Are you catching me? Thank you, Lord. So it has to represent me. If it has hypocrisy, it doesn't represent me. It has to match the state of my heart. When the sacrifice match the state of my heart, it is compatible with the frequency of God. It becomes a sweet aroma. Hallelujah. Do you see how important it is? Worship is. That is why during the time of King Solomon, when they worshiped in one voice, the glory came down. Because there was a huge sacrifice of lambs, of all the sacrifice. Why is it now in the modern church when we worship, the glory does not come down? Because our worship does not match our heart. So the sweet aroma is the quality of our sacrifice. Amen. Are you following me? It has to match the state of my heart. I know all of you are a bit uneasy with the time. I'm going to finish. You know, my wife and myself, we listen to a God servant who preached, okay, from India. His message at least 2 hours. So we have the stamina for that. So maybe here we don't have the stamina. It's okay. We stretch a bit, okay? I know all of you have gone through the whole day. So what qualifies the quality of your sacrifice? Then you will say, you're so hard. No, I still have hypocrisy and envy and all that. What to do? Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Talmid sacrifice. When they crucify Jesus, right at 9 a.m., they put Jesus on the cross. Jesus suffered for 6 hours. Right at 3 p.m., he breathed his last. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He gave his spirit to God. He's the real Talmid sacrifice. Isn't that powerful? In the practice of Jewish sacrifice, they can only give all the sacrifice between 9 o'clock and 3 p.m. All other sacrifice must be between these two sacrifices. The first is at 9 a.m. The last is at 3 p.m. All other sacrifice must be between these, must be sandwiched by these two. Everything has been covered by Jesus. Jesus was sacrificed right at 9 a.m. He gave his spirit at 3 p.m. He covered everything. He is our all in all. That's why when you come to God to pray, when you come to God to intercede, when you come to God to read His Word, you and I must depend on the Holy Spirit and must go through Jesus. We cannot worship, I just want to come and worship, I have the heart to worship. No, we must go through the broken body of Jesus. When God sees Jesus in your worship, there is a sweet aroma. When God sees Jesus in your prayer, you want a breakthrough in your prayer. Does your prayer, hello? Does your intercession match the character of Jesus? What you pray, does it match the character of Jesus? If it matches the character of Jesus, it is a sweet aroma to Him. Glory will come down. Breakthrough is your portion. Blessings is yours with 10,000 beside. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Jesus started His life as a sacrifice. He ended His life as a sacrifice. If you learn to become like a sacrifice, we become like Him. All we do, we become like a dummy. A day and night. So, yes, we have a regular time, we have a continual time, but also the quality of what you give, of what you pray, is very, very important. What you can have a regular time, but it does not produce sweet aroma. It is futile. Are you following me? Why do I say Jesus is a start sacrifice to the end sacrifice? Do you know? For the Jewish people, when they want animal for sacrifice, the animal has to be reared, has to be bred, what do you call it? Bred, right? Has to be bred only in the town of Bethlehem. It has to be within Jerusalem. And Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. That means He was meant, His birth was meant to be a sacrifice. And He ended His life as a Talmud sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no sin too great. Some of us, we have some sins hidden inside. You know, there are some types of sins that are very shameful. Some people are involved in, like, incest. Incest is like a wrong relationship, right? Father and children had a wrong relationship, had a wrong intimate relationship. But incest is a shameful sin, right? People dare not stay. They try to hide it. They try to cover it. They try to change it. Sin like this even can come to God and let Jesus be the sacrifice and cover it and take away your shame and cleanse us and purify us. And when you have Jesus, then you can approach. Otherwise, if you have unconfessed sin, according to the word of God, they say, what you give to me, your incense is an abomination. You thought you are praying, you give me a worship. All, that's why it's very smelly, stinky. It's not incense. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? So I've taken 1 hour and 17 minutes. Let's open our heart before the Lord. Just close our eyes. Let's just ask God to teach us to have this day and night, this daily sacrifice. It's not in the hour, but it is in the observance. It's in the observation, okay? The divine initiative is that God wants to meet with us. God wants to speak to us. But we must learn to set apart regular time. We must set apart continual time to pray, to worship, to read His word. And when we do that as faithfully, when we do that as a lifestyle, it becomes a portal, it becomes a supernatural doorway in our lives. When we open ourselves to an open heaven in our lives, when we are opening ourselves to angelic visitation of all kinds. But it all has to do with the quality of our sacrifice. Is it a sweet aroma to God? Come, shall we gather together in the front here? Yeah, since you all have cleared the chair. Since it's a good place for you to come together right here in front together. Let's gather in front before God tonight. I just want to take these few minutes. All of you, just close your eyes. Don't look around. Open your heart. If there's any sin, you know, any sin will become an abomination in the... God will say it's an abomination. it cannot reach God. What you want to pray, what you want to praise, it will not reach God. So let's just ask God to forgive us and cleanse us of any sin. If there are sins, secret sins that we have never mentioned before God, shameful sins, secret sins, that even our closest friend, our closest relative does not know, you and I must tell it before God. Any unconfessed sin is an abomination before God. And it causes the heaven to be closed. And we cannot have an open heaven before God. So brothers and sisters, close your eyes. There's no sin too big. There's no sin too small. Jesus is the Talmid sacrifice. He died for us. He's the morning sacrifice. He's the evening sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. When we come to Him, we must come through the broken body of Jesus. Just in your heart, tell Him, Jesus, I thank You. You are the sacrifice. I confess my sin before You. Close your eyes. Begin to tell Him, what is it? Is there a shameful sin? Is there a secret sin? Father, I ask, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, begin to bring conviction in the heart of Your people. You don't have to say out loud, but say it before God. Say it in the presence of God. Father, we welcome You. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to be present. Lord, I know Your people here, they come with a hunger, they come with their heart. I pray that God, Your Holy Spirit, will speak to us individually. If there is anything that has become a blockage in our relationship with You, we want to clear it. If there's any shameful sin, even like incest or any shameful sin, anything that people will not believe, we have to confess it before God and ask God to wash it away, to cleanse us, purify us. And let the blood wash us. Come on, do this in your own way right now. Shikarabaka sokoroboriyanga. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take your time. Just spend a few minutes. He is the perfect sacrifice. We must go through Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. If you are ready, then let's learn like David. Take your time first. If you are ready, just lift your hand as an evening sacrifice to Him. Maybe you don't have strength, maybe you are tired, maybe you are weak. But lift your hand as an evening sacrifice. And say, Lord, I come to You tonight. This place has been like an open heaven. This place can be like a portal because we keep gathering here. We keep gathering here. We make it a continual, regular practice. We always meet here. So let this place be an open portal for each one of you at this time. Just open your eyes. Don't look around. Just focus between you and God and let God do something in your life tonight. Maybe He do some. There is an angelic visitation. Open up your spiritual eyes. He does something, an impartation from heaven, a healing, or God does something miraculous. Lord, let there be an open heaven in this place tonight. You see Your people, they come every week, regularly, continually, observing like an evening sacrifice. And God, in obedience, in humility, they lifted up their hands as an evening sacrifice. Do it wholeheartedly unto God. You know that this is because of His divine initiative. He wants to meet with us. And we just cooperate. We just lift our hands. We just say, we want, Lord. We want to obey You. We want to meet with You. We want You to speak to us. If that is truly You, lift your hands. Lift your hands, everyone. Close your eyes. Just quieten yourself. Close your eyes. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory. Lift your hands with all your heart. Give an incense to God. You are worthy of it all. Close your eyes. Worship Him. You are worthy of it all. The blood of Jesus cleansed us and purify us. For from You are all things. Focus on Lord. Tell You are all things. You deserve the glory. One You are worthy of it all. Do it wholeheartedly. If you need healing, if you need a touch, from you are all things. And to you are all things. God can do the miraculous. Deserve the glory. Sing it again. You are worthy of it all. Sing with all your heart. You are worthy of it all. Come on, church. For from you are all things. Through you are all things. Worship Him. You deserve the glory. Day and night and day, let incense arise. Hallelujah, you are doing it now.
Day and night and day, let incense arise.
One more time.
Day and night and day, let incense arise.
Sing it again.
Day and night and day, let incense arise.
You are worthy of it all. Please close your eyes.
You are worthy of it all.
When you close your eyes, it helps you to focus.
You are worthy of it all.
Come, Holy Spirit, for from you are all things.
To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing it again.
You are worthy of it all.
With all your heart, don't look around.
You are worthy of it all.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit. For from you are all things,
to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
You are worthy of it all,
you are worthy of it all.
Come on, keep going with all your heart, give an incense to Him.
You are worthy of it all.
Sheke roboriana rabasana,
for from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Day and night. Come, Holy Spirit.
Shaka.
Robo Rianda Rabasana. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Continue day and night.
Day and night.
Shake Robo Rianda. In Jesus' name.
Day and night and day, let incense arise.
Sheke robo, continue. Sheke robo rianda, shaka raba rianda. I see some of you in Jesus' name. Night and continue singing. Give your incense to God.
Day and night and day, let incense.
Some of you, the enemy has fallen down. Some of you, God has caused an enemy in your life to fall. As you do that right now, continue to worship Him in Jesus' name. I just saw that right now in Jesus' name.
Night and day, let incense arise.
You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Continue singing. Come worship Him.
You are worthy of it all.
Continue to lift it up.
You are all things.
Let the sweet aroma rise from your heart.
You are all things.
You
deserve the glory.
There must be enough sweet aroma. You are worthy.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
I know that there'll be a healing anointing falling
from you are all things.
But all of you must focus.
You deserve the glory.
Must be single eye and worship Him. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy.
You are worthy of it.
I know many of you need a healing touch. Far from you, and God is merciful. He's going to do something tonight.
For all things, you deserve the glory.
One last time, you are worthy.